Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Well, hello there. Glad you joined me this evening. Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. And it's kind of a weird thing that just happened there because I just played my little prepared opening there. Let's say, and yet I'm also on the cell phone. How is this possible, you ask me? Well, I have borrowed my brother's old computer, his old laptop, because he has a new one, a shiny new one, and this is his old one that he does not use anymore. And I was pleased to find that I could bring up Blog Talk Radio. I was not pleased to find that I was not able to run Skype. That's what happens when you have old equipment. The software and the internet applications outdistance it, and you just can't. I think it may be an issue of speed more than anything else. It doesn't seem to want to load the pages and so forth. And there may be a workaround on that. I'm not sure, but the point is that in the time I had today to prepare, I was not able to make Skype work on my brother's old computer. So we're still stuck with the phone, at least for the moment, for today, anyway. But you did get to hear my clever little show open, which you probably haven't heard for a while now, a month and a half since the last time I've been able to play that. So, consider yourself privileged. Also, you need to keep this secret for me because this is not my computer, it's my brother's computer, and I downloaded Skype on it, and I really shouldn't have done that because it's not mine, But don't tell him. And also, I haven't been able to find a way to get it off of here yet, so if he ever has occasion to look at the computer again, he may see that there's Skype on it where there was no Skype before, and hopefully he will not be upset on that. I don't think he will because I don't think he ever intended to use this computer again. If he was good enough to loan it to me so I could take it to my latest trip to the big city, and I would be able to communicate with the outside world without having to find a conveniently placed library to do so. And I had mixed success with that. Excuse me, the computer worked just fine at Chief Iggy Hoopwatcher's house, which is where I was staying. He was nice enough to offer me an accommodation while I was in Columbus. So I was able to set this computer up and use it and check my email and all that. Email being important, of course, because I'm checking for work opportunities and so forth and so on. So I do want to check my email at least once a day, probably twice or three times, to make sure I've caught everything and I'm not falling too far behind. I also wanted to take it to the university where I used to work, and I now do occasional day work. And that's what I was doing in Columbus. This most recent, well, I had two purposes. I was doing that, and I was also doing, well, I won't get into that until it's time in the story. I was doing something else. I'll get to later. But I was going to do this thing I do at the medical school where I pretend to be sick, and a medical student has to figure out what's wrong with me. And I also wanted to have my computer there for that, and I could, check my emails and whatnot. But for whatever reason, I was never able to quite diagnose why the computer wouldn't work there. It wouldn't log on to the Internet. So I had to find a Columbus City Library nearby. Actually, I knew there was one that was very nearby, the hospital. I went there. But all of their computers were taken up by people who were watching WWE SmackDown on YouTube. So I had to drive the car further up the road to the library I used where I used to live, my old apartment there. And finally, I was able to get on there and check and see that I didn't have any great offers of employment. There's always this deflation, you know. Want to get on the emails and check and see what's on there for you. And, if it's all spam, there's always a sort of, especially when you've waited all day for it. You worked all day and you haven't eaten dinner yet. And you get on, make sure you have time to answer all of those solicitations for jobs, and then there aren't any. Kind of a deflating feeling. Then I went and had, what did I eat that night? Well, doesn't matter. Not a very exciting part of the story, I guess. I was trying to hit all of my old haunts. In the situation, for those of you who haven't been listening regularly, the situation is that since I don't have a regular income now, I have been spending a lot of time with my parents and getting back to Columbus when I can, doing some work there, working with the Job and Family Services there, not working with them, but going to meetings with Job and Family Services and trying to find something that would be suitable for someone with my powerful intellect. And so it's a tricky balance because obviously you spend gas money to get from my folks' house to the big city. And there has to be some sort of return, so I'm trying to build these trips around times when I've been asked to work for the university, so at least there's some money coming back. I can pay for the gas and whatever food I eat when I'm up here. Or up there, anyway. I'm down there. I keep saying the name of my big city in the Midwest. I guess it's not such a big deal. Sometimes I try to be cagey about it, but sometimes I wonder why I don't take the effort. It is an effort to try and remember not to say the name of the city you live in. Still consider that I live there. Officially, I still live there. I use my daughter's address, even though I'm not staying with her for, I think we discussed that at length in the past program, and we won't go into that this week. I was, as I said, hosted by Iggy Hoop Watcher and his lovely wife, White Horse, and a good time was had by all. Actually, we didn't see each other very much. We had some incompatibility scheduled, which was sad. And I think if we do this next time, we do this, and Iggy has assured me that it's okay. The next time I come to town, I can stay with them. I'd suggested that we sit down beforehand and do some strategic planning, because we can actually. Maybe do some stuff while I'm there. I think that would be fun. I miss my interaction with my spiritual family, the Condor Eagle group. Used to be called the Chapter House, but they changed the name of it, and I don't remember what it is. But it's our sort of division of the Nemenha Church. The division might not be right either. That might be totally the wrong word. That's how we find these things. We say them, and we find out that they're totally the wrong word, and the government uses that word for something else, which screws us up entirely, and we have to find another word to use. That happens often. Band was the word. We talk about a band. It was the Condor Eagle Band. Band has a very specific meaning in federal law, and we couldn't use the word band. So just one of those things you got to kind of watch out for. Anyway, it's still Condor Eagle. Condor Eagle, I know that. And I miss my friends in that group. And I think I should make more of an effort next time. I know this first time was just that, a first time. And there's lots of mistakes to be made when it's the first time. Lots of adjustments to be thinking about. This is what we're going to do. And then next time we'll do this better. Next time we'll do that better. So we'll keep that in mind. What else should I tell you about? I've turned myself around because the computer, I have a Block Talk up on the computer. And it's telling me that there's like 2 hours left until my show started, which I knew wasn't true. So I said, and I got on the phone with Iggy to see if he could help me fix it. And he really couldn't find anything wrong, and when I called in on the phone, everything seems to be all right from, you know, from the point of view of the phone. And in fact, I did go on the air at midnight as scheduled. So we really don't know what the problem was, but the computer is still showing a freaky. I have on the computer, it says I'm on the air, and it says how long I have left before the episode is over. And it says I have 1 hour, 33 minutes, and 30 seconds. That's not that's not how long I'm usually on. I'm only on half an hour, so I don't know whether that's going to hold true or whether I'll get my usual 90-second warning and 60-second warning at the proper time. And that would be whether it's the phone that's in charge or whether it's the computer that's in charge. I don't know which it is. But I know I'm not going to stay on the air until, would it be past 1:30 anyway. Because it does get a little bit rough doing this late show after you've been up all day, even if you haven't been doing a whole lot, which I haven't. Let me tell you what I have done all day today. I went on a pilgrimage to the park. There's a park not too far from where my parents live, and since this is the first day in a while in our region that the temperatures have not been completely unbearable, I took a little walk up that way. We go past the cemetery, and then through this housing development. And then there's a suspension bridge over a little river. And you go through this little jog, there's a sort of a mini forest preserve there where my mother and I and my daughter once got a scorching case of poison ivy. My daughter was working on a project for her biology class in high school, when she was in high school. So we were in this nature preserve looking for leaves, and apparently we got into some kind of leaf that we shouldn't have. So we all came out of there itching and all ended up needing trips to the doctor, as I remember. Anyway, I didn't go in there. I just went the other way and then you get into the park. And we have a very nice park. Somebody somewhere is giving it some love, spending some money on it because it's one of the few things in this little town. This is a town, and my mother and father live in the town that I grew up in, and I'm here right now in the house that I grew up in. So I can say a lot of things in this town have gone downhill quite a bit. I was going to say since I was here. I guess that's accurate, since I was here, but I don't even imply it's not because I left. That's not the reason. It's because times have changed. A lot of the industry that used to be here has moved out, and people have moved out. And fewer people here than when I was in school. So much of the town has, in fact, it's public sort of properties in particular have lost a great deal of their luster. But the park seems to just march merrily on. So there are people in there taking care of it, people working there. So there's some money somewhere. Somebody is putting cash into the park, and I consider that to be a good thing. I was really kind of hoping, and if I'd have thought about it a little bit, I probably would have realized this wasn't going to be the case. But one of the central things of the park is there is an outdoor pool there. And while I wasn't really interested in using it, I do like to observe the human interactions that occur. And I also like to grab an icy beverage and sit underneath an umbrella. And just some sort of experiences, simple experiences that I'm trying to. I set an intention, don't use the word try. I'm setting an intention to pay more attention to those simple experiences. So I was going to get one more in before everything closes down at Labor Day, the traditional ending of summer. But I went to the park today, and there was nobody there. It's basically deserted. Pool closed down. Nobody out there to sell me an icy beverage or anything like that. And of course, I realized it's because school, the kids go back to school so early now. And once the kids go back to school, the pool's going to close down because there's nobody there to use it, basically. I can't say that it upset me, but it was sort of a, yes, there's another thing that's changed. And so I just sat there. I went to one of the picnic enclosures, and I spent about 2 hours at the park just sort of drinking it in, and looking at the things that were the same and looking at the things that were different. I mean, there's pieces of playground equipment there that are the same ones that were there when I played on them when I was 5 or 6 years old. And then, of course, there are many of that have been torn out. One very recently, and I never, even when I was a kid, I never quite got this. They were like concrete tubes, a series of like 4 or 5 of them. They were painted different colors, and I think it was supposed to be a train because the last one in the sequence was red, and the first one in the sequence was black, so apparently the engine, the caboose. But, I mean, the idea of the tubes, I mean, it was very sort of impressionistic. You had to sort of use your brain to get the idea of train out of this thing. And, of course, like all old playground equipment, it was horrible on your knees and your hands. Not much thought given to child safety at the time. It's because it's concrete, so it was. But just very recently, that's been torn out. They finally got rid of all of that. And I would have loved to have been around when they did it because, I mean, jackhammers, they would have had to use jackhammers. I don't know how else it would have been done. It would have required a rather talented jackhammer artist to do that without causing, chunks to fly every which way, which would have required a cleanup. I would like to see what the strategy was to have taken that out. Would have amused me. I was also wish I could have been around when they took down the upside-down funhouse at Cedar Point, which is a amusement park, which is up the road from us in Sandusky on Lake Erie. And one of my favorite things was the upside-down funhouse, which is pretty much as I described it. It was upside-down. It was a funhouse. And this thing was just filled with all sorts of interesting props and mannequins. It was the mannequins that really sort of fascinated me. And, they tore it down. They tore it down. It was just not there 1 year when I arrived. I think it was the last year I went, actually. I said, what do they do with all this? Did they just throw them in the dumpster, or did they maybe have some sort of auction or something for funhouse entrepreneurs or just fans of the upside-down funhouse? How to take a piece of the upside-down funhouse home. There are a number of those mannequins I would have loved to have had. Well, the other one they had was a different one. It was called the Earthquake. It was sort of a fun house on the kind where you sat in a rolling car and it took you through and things would pop out at you. And it was a representation of the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. Lots of interesting art in there that I hope was preserved in some way. And again, didn't just take this stuff and throw it in a dumpster. That would have been a crime, I think. That's interesting. I had not intended to talk about that at all, and I hadn't thought about it in quite a while. When I get to my prayer subject for this week, because I haven't talked about that yet, I've been thinking a lot about opportunity. And I guess that could be the opportunity to have been somewhere near the upside-down funhouse when they tore it down, or the opportunity to be near those, whatever you would have called it, concrete sort of faux train when somebody had to figure out how to break it up with a jackhammer. Or it could be the opportunity to work, because I worked this week, and I haven't worked since June the 18th, unless you count jury duty. So when we, I don't know, I don't have anything terribly deep to say about this. Say I've been thinking about opportunity as a concept because, opportunity is you think of it as something you chase after. One thinks of it as being ready for opportunity. Opportunity knocks, sort of something that society, something that society uses on us about opportunity being ready for opportunity, and we're not ready for opportunity. And things don't come to us, it's our own fault. And that dovetails in some way, I think, into the my New Age friends' ideas of, oh, the word just flew out of my head, what did they call it? Manifesting. And, you know, the there's the book, and I can't think of the name of it any either. The idea is that, I think that's linked in some way to opportunity. The idea that one sets an intention and one sort of creates in one's own mind the world that they would like to see, the world that they would like to live in, the things that they would like to have. And that if we do that clearly enough, the university will, university, that would be nice, but it's not the university, it's the universe that arranges for you to have those things. And then, indeed, the universe is always, the idea is, again, the idea. The university is always listening to you and always giving you what it thinks that you want. So, let's say when I'm sitting stuck in traffic, as I was on Tuesday morning, and calling down the wrath of the universe upon everyone around me, the universe reacts, the universe thinks that's what I want. It wants that conflict and that anger. And so I get more of that. This is, again, the idea. Whereas if I'm moving forward in a positive way and I have a, you know, clear idea of where I want to go and what I want to get to, that the universe will respond to that as well. Now, I know there's people who believe in that very strongly, and there are people who believe in Jesus Christ very strongly. There are people who believe in Barack Obama very strongly. There are people that believe in Manchester United very strongly. So yeah, I'm not sitting here in a position to argue with any of them. I'm just a guy with a radio show, kind of talking. And opportunity is the idea. It's the idea that things come to you and you have to be ready for it. However it is that those things come to you. And you have to be ready for it. I'm not exactly sure what that means. I'm going to concentrate on the first part, which is things come to you. And that's what's going to get me through this, because I had started for a while there to think things aren't going to come to me. I started to think that the things that were going to come to me have all already come to me, and I've sort of run out of vouchers, if that makes sense. You know, that I'm approaching 50 and starting over for all intents and purposes. Asking the universe or Jesus Christ or Buddha or whoever it is you're going to, or Wyakin or whoever it is you're going to ask to set the table for me at a point in my life. Is that something that I can really expect? And my answer is going to be yes, but a reserved yes. It's not so much a matter of what I can expect. It's a matter of what's going to happen. Because I believe that everyone has a path. I don't know whether I want to say it's a path that's set for them. I don't know if I want to attribute that kind of motivation to whatever force it is that creates the path. But there is, I believe, there is a path. There's a way that things are supposed, quote-unquote, to go. There's a way that it's best for things to go, a way that it's easiest for things to go, and a way that it's most efficient for things to go. And that when, as human beings, we ignore the path and we walk away from the path, that we rue the day, generally, that we did it. And I've spent a lot of time in my 49-plus years wandering off the path, taking the way that I thought was best, taking the way that I thought was going to provide me the most money, the most satisfaction, the most pleasure, the way that was going to cause me to hurt the least, the way that was going to allow me to anesthetize my pain. Because my pain comes from someplace, too. And the Buddhists say that pain is unavoidable, but suffering... Pain is not avoidable, suffering is avoidable, because we choose to suffer. We can't choose not to have pain. A lot of my effort has been directed towards avoiding pain and avoiding conflict. And evidently, whatever my path is to be, it's going to have its share of pain and conflict. Because avoiding it it seems definitely to be off of my path. My avoidance causes bad things to happen. My avoidance of conflict could be said to have been a factor in my losing my apartment. You know, there are things maybe people could have helped me. I chose not to take that step. I chose not to risk incurring their wrath. Because I needed their help. So the opportunity is what I need to look for, what's bringing me back towards my path, and what's the sort of things that I see not as conflict or not as potentially destructive. Some things are potentially destructive. But most of the things I avoid are not. They're just risks that I might have taken and that might have paid off. But I'll never know because I didn't take them. Okay. Now, in the short time that we have remaining, I will tell you about that other activity I was engaged in my large city in the Midwest. I've been dealing with the JFS people, which is Job and Family Services, and... there's also a thing they do called Ohio Works First. The idea is that you got to work for your benefits. You never had to really do that before. Well, you sort of had to. They're getting me started on this program, this Ohio Works First program, and I'll have to have a certain amount of hours. I'll either have to do some volunteering or this work I'm doing at Ohio State is evidently going to count. So far, they're saying it will. But I had to go to a couple of seminars. And they were scheduled for the whole day, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And I showed up for the first one. And they had us lined up, and were bringing us in a few at a time. And at the door, they gave us some tickets, you know, raffle-style tickets. We were told that they were going to call out our number. We were going to go up to get our background check, which is where you go up and you have them, they take your fingernail. They take your fingerprints. And I'm down to 90 seconds, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish the story. But the thing is, I was there until maybe 10 o'clock, and they let us go. And the same thing happened on Thursday. Now, I'm glad to have gotten the credit, you know, for these 8 hours. They gave us 8 hours for each day, all the other people who were there. But it certainly emblematic of a program that really doesn't have its... It hasn't found its way, much like me. So I have to be looking for opportunities. I think they need to be looking for opportunities to get better, too. And with that rather neat conclusion, I'm going to say goodnight. Thank you for joining me on this week's program. And if you liked it, tune in next week. Thanks once again, and goodnight.